Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It's so good to be back for another week. It's so good to see everyone or hear everyone and just be on to talk and enjoy one another for another few hours or hour or so. This is Health Talk, and this is Donald Snowden. And, you know, we're here to really just sow into people's lives and help people understand that through health and through wealth and life, there's things that happen as we go along in health and things that happen that go along in life. And our health is one of the most important things that we have. And once we start to harness our health and pay attention to the things that are important within our health, our life becomes a little bit more productive. It becomes a little bit more fun to be able to do those things. And so I'm really grateful to just have this platform here where we get on every week and we talk about different topics and we talk about how we can really help get answers to people. Because every day you turn on the news and you're hearing something about the insurance system. You're hearing something about the healthcare system. And people are suffering. This country is number one in obesity. 40% of Americans are obese. And when you look at this country as a whole, this country is made up of people from all other countries. This is a melting pot of different ethnicities and different races that come into this country. Well, nobody's native to this country besides the Native Americans. So when you look at the time that we've been here and we've looked at the decline of health, our grandparents and great-grandparents lived long, healthy lives for the most part. They were able to eat and enjoy food that was farmed. And it's amazing how, you know, just 30, 40 years ago, everything was organic. And now you have to actually look for those things in a grocery store, and they charge you more for those things, and then you pay less for the things that have been treated with pesticides and herbicides and fungicides and all of these different things. And, you know, so the decline of health has happened over time. And with 40% of Americans being obese and none of us being native to America, it can't be what the people are doing. It has to be what the country gives to the people. And so the food system that we have to choose from has failed us. The medical system has failed us. We spend more money on health care than all 200 nations combined. But yet we're number one in the world in illness. It's just not fair. We're also in a place where there's 300 million people in America, and one in three of them are diabetic or pre-diabetic. That means that about one-third of America, 100 million people, are dealing with diabetes every day or dealing with the symptoms of diabetes every day. That shouldn't happen in a country where you spend the most on health care. The cancer industry, cancer is on the rise dramatically. And we spend more money on cancer research. It's a $100 billion research industry. And we still have more people getting cancer. We still have more people dying from cancer. We have all these races and runs and walks for cancer. But we don't get any better. And so, you know, all these new chemotherapy drugs that come on the market, all these experimental things that come on the market, and we don't get any better. And so, therefore, there must be a miss in what we're learning and what they're giving us and how we're learning it, to the point where we're sick as a country. And those things can be changed, and those things can be fixed if we get the right information. And that's what we're here for, and that's why we come here every week, to make sure that the information that's being generated and the information that's being given is something that's useful, but also it's something that's going to help you stay healthy throughout the time that we have to live here. One of the biggest things that we don't get to hear about every day is nutrition. And when we think of nutrition, we think of nutrition as food, which is very true. We should be able to eat nutritious foods, but nutritious foods do not give us the supply of nutrients that we need to be able to stay healthy. We have people that eat perfect diet, still get pancreatic cancer. We have vegans that still die from different types of diseases. We have vegetarians who die from different types of diseases. We have meat eaters that live to be 100 years old. I mean, really, it's not about the food, because we're never going to eat enough broccoli and spinach and cabbage, and we'll never be able to eat enough of those things to get all the nutrition that we need in our diet. And so, therefore, we must supplement. And I see people a lot of times, they're standing in Walmart or in the grocery store, and they're just standing there, and they're reading the backs of pill bottles or vitamin bottles, trying to figure out what's in it. And then you figure out what's in it, and you say, okay, well, I might need this, so I might need that. Or they say, well, go take a one a day. And so then we get a one a day, and we take one a day, not knowing that a 300-pound person may have just went and bought that same one a day, a 150-pound person just may have bought that same one a day, and everybody's taking one a day. Well, somebody may not be getting enough, and somebody may be getting too much. How do you know? You don't. And so you say, well, yeah, I take a vitamin, I take a one a day, but I still have arthritis. Or I take a one a day, but I still have cancer. I still got these things based on taking the things that they told me that was healthy. So then we say, oh, well, vitamins don't work because I've been taking one and I'm still vitamin D3 deficient. Or I'm still calcium deficient. And so then we get turned off with vitamins. And then we show up at the doctor's office because we can't handle the pain anymore, we can't handle the sickness anymore or the disease anymore. So then we say, well, I have knee pain. And the doctor says, okay, we'll give you a cortisone shot. Now, we're not intending on fixing the problem. We're just intending on dulling the pain. Or we'll give you a synthetic form of collagen. And in a lot of cases, your body doesn't recognize it because it's not the actual fluid that your body makes. It's a copycat to that fluid, but it's not the actual fluid. So then, therefore, that doesn't work, or it works for a period of time. Then there's painkillers. And we take those. And then we get to a point where they say, oh, well, you just need to do a little bit of physical therapy and get the joints moving, get the bones moving around. And you're taking a joint that's worn out. You're taking a disease state that's in a severe state, in a chronic state. And you're trying to work through it, whether it be physical therapy or whether it be dietary changes or whatever it might be. But you never really get well. And they say, okay, now it's time to do surgery. We're going to have to just remove this part of your body. And you don't need a knee replacement because you were deficient in a prosthetic. You needed a knee replacement because there were a certain amount of things that you weren't getting in your diet that was helping you keep your joints healthy, keep your back healthy, keep your blood sugar in order so you don't get the diabetes, keep your heart and brain in order so you don't get the Alzheimer's or cardiac disease, which is number one in this country, and death. People die of more cardiac disease, cardiovascular disease, than anything. So that's the number one killer in a country that spends more on health and care than all nations combined. So therefore, there's a myth. And then when you try to do well, you go to a place and you don't quite get the right information. The new year is coming up. Thanksgiving is coming up, so people are thinking about eating and how they're going to eat, and they don't really care. They throw caution to the wind. They're thinking about the cakes and the pies and just even some of the good food, the turkey and the yams, and we're thinking about all these different things that we're going to have for Thanksgiving. And then as soon as Thanksgiving's over, a lot of people will eat themselves into oblivion 3 or 4 or 5 days straight, eating things that they know is not good for them. Some things are, some things aren't, but we eat it because it's Thanksgiving. And what are we giving thanks for? If we're feeding ourselves things that are in turn killing us or in turn making us feel worse, and then Christmas rolls around, which is another holiday of thanks and giving. And we do the same thing with Christmas dinner. And then the New Year shows up. And now it's time to take all that stuff that we did, giving thanks and feeling good and enjoying our time with family, and get rid of all of that. It's time to go to the gym and start to lose weight, because we picked up 30 pounds and we picked up 20 pounds throughout the year. And the last 2 months of the year is the largest weight gain that happens at any one point in time in this country, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we would understand why. So then there is, how do we get back our health? And so we go to the gyms, we get memberships, and we go work out, and we do that good for a couple of weeks. We get really sore, we start hurting really bad, and we stop going. Or we pull a muscle and we stop going. We twist an ankle and we stop going. And then they say, okay, we're going to change our diet. So then we buy all these salads and different healthy foods, and we start eating those, and then we run out of them. And the next time we go grocery shopping, oh, I just think I may have this. I haven't had it in a couple of months. Or you realize that, oh, it's too expensive to continue to eat this way, as if our bodies don't need it, as if it's not worth it to our bodies to have something that's good for our bodies. We'll put expensive tires on their car if they say that's what we need. We'll put a new transmission in our car if they say that's what we need. We'll spend $1,500 on our car if they say that's what we need. We'll spend $2,000 to get things in our house repaired if that's what they say they need, or get our house renovated. But our temple, we don't do that. We try to find the cheapest thing to put in our bodies, and even if it's healthy, oh, why is that so expensive? Compared to what? What are you comparing that to? As if your body's not worth it. But we go through this cycle, and then by March, April, you're back in the same regimen you were in last year. Or even if you try, and which a lot of people do, they really try. They really get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they try, and they try everything. They try this weight loss pill. They try that weight loss pill. They try this shape. They try this particular meal plan, and get this particular call on the phone or go online and get this particular meal plan, a 30-day meal plan, a 60-day meal plan. You're eating these foods, and you get really small portions. And people do get benefit. People do get benefit. But what the statistics say, that 66% of the people who go on these particular type of diets and that have success in weight, losing weight and getting healthy, return to bad health and gain more weight back than they lost the first time. And that's just the people that are polled, statistically speaking. So it may be higher than that. So if I'm speaking to someone who has been able to do it and keep the weight off, I commend you. When I speak, I'm speaking to the generality of the percentages. And that's all I'm speaking to. And then I look at what we do and the system that we have and what makes it so different. And one of the things that makes it different is the person who put the system together. Most systems that we have in America is put together by the medical system, who only profits when you're sick. So therefore, their interest in getting you well is not very high, because then that cuts down on their profit. There's even no law that says they have to cure you, even if there's a cure available. So just based on generally speaking of how that system is set up, they're not set up as a healthcare system. They're set up as a sick care system, because that's the way that they survive. Now, if you get shot, if you have an emergency, a traumatic emergency, you're in a car accident, the troops on the battlefield that are fighting for the freedom of our country, they get injured, they get maimed, you want to go to the hospital. They are set up with technology to be able to save your life. 85% of the lives on a battlefield are saved due to today's technology. They're wonderful at that, and that's what they should be doing. But when you need to have your diabetes dealt with, when you need to have your heart disease dealt with, when you need to have your Alzheimer's dealt with, you don't want to go to a place that's good at trauma care. You want to go to a place that's good at health care. And we understand that the hospital or a doctor or the medical system will manage your symptoms. They won't help you give your body what it needs to help make the symptoms go away. They'll manage them for you, because why? That's residual income. They know if you're on a drug every day, that's residual income. For the insurance companies, for the big pharma, and also for whatever kickbacks the doctors get. So that's how that snake works. It's just like a big snake eating itself. You can't break that chain. And the only way to break that chain is when you come across people that are sick and tired of that system and want to be educated, and they decide to step out of that circle. Because even when you're dealing with insurance, you would think that insurance would want to not have to pay for you to be sick. It's amazing that when there's a flood or when there's a fire to your home, you call your homeowner's insurance. I mean, yeah, you call your insurance company about your homeowner's insurance, and there's every loophole in the book for them not to really have to pay you what you're supposed to be paid or what they tell you up front. I mean, they found a way to save money. They do the same thing with your car. Oh, instead of getting this factory part, we'll put this aftermarket part on here. That's the same thing. Works the same way, but the design of your hood might look a little bit different because this aftermarket part is cheaper. That's what the insurance company is going to pay for. But isn't it interesting that when you get to health and we tell you you need a knee replacement, or the doctor tells you you need a knee replacement, and you hear from someone like us and we say, you know, give us 90 days and we're going to give you what you need so your body can heal itself. And you may spend about, just say, $1,000 to make it easy. In those 90 days, you spend $1,000 on your health, and you go to your insurance company, you file a claim and say, yes, I know I'm supposed to get a knee replacement. Of course, the doctor said that. So instead of you and Mr. Insurance Company having to pay $40,000 for this knee replacement, I wanted to go ahead and do this $1,000 claim for some of these products. And there's research behind them. There's studies that have been done on them, just like the same medical drugs that you have or that you've approved. But I want to do this nutritional program that's going to rebuild my cartilage, my tendons, my ligaments, my connective tissue, my disc between the vertebrae. So not only is it focusing on just my knees, but it's also focusing on the other soft tissues of my body. It's also focusing on the bones in my body. So I want to go ahead and try that product, because if that works, you're out $1,000. And you've just been able to save $39,000. So can we do that instead of doing the $40,000 knee replacement? Plus, I don't have to go through the pain and recovery. I mean, it's $40,000, but then I have to deal with the pain of it. I have to deal with the recovery of it. So can I at least do this for the $1,000? And we can do this 40 times before we get to a price of a knee replacement. And the insurance company will tell you no, absolutely not. We're not going to cover that. Well, why not? Well, because we're not sure about it. We're not sure if it'll work. We're not sure where it came from. Well, sir, I can furnish you with the studies. Yeah, but it's not FDA approved. Okay, what does that mean? Vioxx was FDA approved, and it killed 20,000 people. Boniva was FDA approved, and it killed somewhere in the tune of 15,000 people. Those were all drugs that were approved by the FDA, and they killed people. So you're telling me this nutrition hasn't killed anybody, and you're still telling me I can't try? Well, no, because it's not FDA approved. And then okay, and you get off the phone and you befuddled because you can't figure out why they wouldn't cover that. And then they say, your doctor says, well, go to physical therapy. And you go work on a joint that's already worn out, that's already beat up, and you wear that joint out. And now they say, okay, it's time for a knee replacement. And you might think in your mind, oh, gosh, I know my insurance company's not going to pay $40,000 for a knee replacement. They wouldn't even pay $1,000 for a nutritional protocol. And lo and behold, they sent a claim in, and it's approved. And not only are they going to do one knee, they're going to do both knees at $100,000 at the same time. That has got to be – it is amazing. And that's the only insurance that will spend that kind of money on you for you to be sick and stay sick and not get healthy. And people have these knee replacements. They have these hip replacements, and their bodies are never the same. Some people do have a better quality of life. Don't get me wrong. But there are a whole lot more stories of people, just even from a recovery aspect, having to be in a rehab center, having to take all those resources, and we wonder why insurance premiums are so high. They don't have to be that high if they did the small things, if they paid more for the preventative things, that everybody would have insurance, and it wouldn't have to be some kind of paid-into system or this insurance system or pay-to-play system or who's got the lowest premiums or do they cover existing, pre-existing conditions and all of this crap that they put us through. You don't have to deal with that. So they're right there will let you know that they're not on our side as far as health is concerned, because the things that they will pay for, in that one sense, they won't pay for it to keep us healthy, so we prevent all of that. But like I said, let it be your house or your car, and they're going to pay as little as possible. Let it be renter's insurance. They're going to pay as little as possible. Let it be your car and you don't have gap insurance. And they just say, oh, we're just going to give you this amount. We're not going to give you the $40,000 for the new car. All you're going to get is the $7,000 you paid into the car, and now you don't have gap insurance, so you're upside down. And even if you got gap insurance, that just covers the difference, and then you're back to square one again. But when it comes to our bodies, they won't allow us to do the small things over a period of time that will help us. So we're left to pay for it on our own. And for most of us, that's fine, because we realize that cancer is really expensive, even if you're not paying for it in money. You're paying for it with your life. So if I have to spend $250 a month for my health, I'm willing to do that, because I don't want to spend 7-8 years of my life miserable with a cancer or with a diabetes for 20 years that I got to shoot myself with a needle every day, or Alzheimer's and I can't remember my precious loved ones because my mind is gone or because my brain is worn out, because I haven't been given it the right things for it to heal itself and stay healthy. So those things are really expensive to me compared to what people would call expensive in trying to pay for their health. And so even the ones that do, when they come to us, we realize that we need to educate them. We need to educate them based on how the body works, what happens when you start to get these disease states. And most of the time when we start to get different illnesses and diseases, they start out really small. Cramps in your leg every night. Get a cramp in your toe, a cramp in the bottom of your foot, or you have these funny heart flutters. You get headaches all the time. These symptoms that we just go and take a Excedrin or a Aleve or and just go lay down and we'll feel better when we get up, and then it comes back. Or there's low back pain that we've had for years and we just figure it came because we picked up something too fast. All this work that we did throughout our life that caused our back to hurt, or we worked on a particular floor, and, you know, all these things that happen that the medical system will help us justify when they're the ones that are supposed to be the experts. But they will help us justify our own story, even if it's not the truth. And so we get to a point of realizing that we try all these different things and nothing really works. And that's when you hear all of these infomercials and you hear all these people that have these alternative products. And they say, hey, why don't you come here and try this? Come here and take this. Oh, you want something for your headache? Try this. And then you get to a point where you say, or you see stuff on TV, and you get to a point where you say, man, I've tried everything, and nothing has worked. And if anybody out there has gotten to that point, that's where we're starting today. Why nothing has worked. There's only two reasons why nothing has worked, especially if within those nothing that you had were generally good products. Because there are great products, health products on the market. There are a lot of really bad ones, but there are some good ones. But people who tried everything, once they told me what they tried, oh, I've taken this particular vitamin, or I've gotten this particular amino acid, or I took this particular weight loss program. And they may be very good programs. But there's two things there's two conversations that you didn't have with the person who persuaded you to get on that program, whether it be an infomercial or whether it be a close family or friend or somebody you meet. They didn't find other people gluten intolerant. Gluten intolerant, how do you know if you're gluten intolerant? If you have ever had asthma, if you ever had eczema, issues with constipation or diarrhea throughout your time in life, or if you had asthma as a kid, it kind of went away, or if you have asthma as an adult or eczema, they'll call it child's asthma or asthma for a certain point in time, and then they'll say, oh, well, yeah, you'll grow out of it. And then as an adult, you still have the asthma or the eczema. I got adult eczema and I got child eczema. It's all eczema. Constipation and diarrhea. If people deal with that chronically. And so if you have any one of those four or all four, it's highly likely you're gluten intolerant. And what happens when you're gluten intolerant is that you can't absorb nutrition. So therefore, all those nutrients that you tried when you tried everything didn't work for you to the extent that you needed them to work. You may have got a little bit of benefit here or there. You may have lost some weight, but you gained it back. It's because you weren't absorbing it at the efficiency that your body needs to be able to absorb nutrients. When you are gluten intolerant, your small intestine, which does the lion's share of all your absorption, so when you eat food and you digest it and it goes down through your small intestine, those nutrients are what you absorb. If you can't absorb those nutrients, then you got no benefit from the food that you just ate or the product that you may have just taken. So therefore, over time, it gets worse. And you say, man, I'm eating a diet. Oh, I don't even eat that much at all. Why am I still gaining weight? Because your body's deficient in vitamins and minerals. And even when you eat them, you can't get them into your system because your small intestines is ravaged due to the gluten intolerance. And you can't absorb it. So with gluten intolerance, when you eat bread, that's pastas, that's wheat, barley, rye, and oats. Wheat, barley, rye, and oats. That's what gluten is contained in. And those proteins, those wheat proteins, when you digest them, don't break down based on the way that they produce wheat these days. A lot of the wheat is genetically modified and grown in such a way that it can not be affected by the heat. You know, in December it's 75 degrees when it's supposed to be cold. In June you have cold days or the least amount of rain that we get. We don't get as much rain as we used to. So therefore, the fields are dry. So all the stages that we need to grow that crop have been altered. So therefore, it has to be genetically modified. Or the grain has to be grown under certain conditions. Well, with that, those proteins don't break down. And as we take those products or as we eat those pastas and bread, as those proteins don't break down, they then get into our small intestines and start to damage the villi within our small intestines. Once that happens, we can't absorb nutrition. So children go a long period of time, if they're gluten intolerant, not absorbing nutrition, and we wonder why children that are 9, 10 years old are dealing with type 2 diabetes, why they're dealing with cancer, why they're dealing with obesity. These issues, ADD, ADHD, that we never had before. And when we had them before, it was because you had ADHD before. It was a lot of times because you just wasn't paying attention. And your parents had something special they would do for you to take care of that. You paid attention and you went on about your life. But now you watch kids, they really cannot pay attention. The ADD and ADHD is real. Why is that? Because they begin their morning with Eggo waffles or French toast sticks. The syrup, juice, Sunny Delight orange juice, that's 30 grams of sugar. All the sugar that you get from the French toast or the pancakes or the waffles and all the gluten that you get, the syrup, the sugar and the syrup that you get. Or they go to school and they eat those particular things. And now the kid goes to school and first thing in the morning, or if they eat these cereals, Fruit Loops and Captain Crunch and all of the cereals that we grew up on, Fruity Pebbles, that's just sugar. And they go to school and they're high on sugar. It's no different than an alcoholic. Sugar is in alcohol. So they can't pay attention. And now they can't figure out why the child goes to class and doesn't do anything. You ask them to write his name and you can't even recognize him. They're high on sugar. Then they go to lunch and they eat pizza. And they get the applesauce. And they drink their chocolate milk. And they might get cookies or some kind of soda. And then they go back to class for the second half of the day, high on sugar. And they can't pay attention. And now we have a whole disease that they call ADD and ADHD, all because the diet that we feed our kids has no nutrition. And now, even if we started to give them nutrition, if we don't understand that they're gluten intolerant, they're not going to absorb the nutrition. So then what do? We put them on things like Ritalin, which are like antidepressants. That's a class 2 narcotic. That's the same thing up there with crack and cocaine, is Ritalin. But we give it to our kids because the doctor says, hey, this will help calm them down, as opposed to understanding that there's a nutrient deficiency that's going on. Why? Because our doctors don't tell us. It's not our fault. You go to someone who should understand these things. But even doctors go to school for 8 years and they get no nutritional training or very little nutritional training and not enough to be able to help us. So that's step one, is the gluten intolerance. Step two is our livers are now toxic. And having a toxic liver simply means that everything that we breathe from the environment, everything that we put on our skin, from the toxins of the shampoos, the lip glosses, the makeups, all of that stuff is toxic. Then the food that we eat is toxic. And whatever we put on our skin absorbs in our bloodstream within 26 seconds. Well, all our blood has to be filtered by our liver. All the things that we eat that gets into our bloodstream, the sugars and the toxins from the sodas and all of that stuff gets into our bloodstream. And our liver has to filter that. And then we go decide to start taking nutrition, and we get on a nutritional protocol, or we try this or we try that, and we get no benefit. Why? Because that stuff, now that it's going into the bloodstream, it hits the liver, and now it's just mixed with a bunch of other toxins, and it gets diluted way down to the point, like I said, where you get a little benefit, but you never get the sustained benefit or the effectiveness of what you're supposed to get. Or sometimes you don't get any benefit at all. Because our liver is toxic. When our liver is toxic, our thyroid doesn't function correctly. When our liver is toxic, our kidneys doesn't function correctly. When our liver is toxic, our hormones are not created properly. Estrogen is produced in the liver. Cholesterol is produced in the liver. Hormones are produced in the liver. If our liver is toxic, we're producing toxic hormones or not enough hormones, and then we need hormone replacement therapy. And then we need drugs for erectile dysfunction and all of these other types of hormone replacement issues that the baby boomers are having and young people are having, and it runs the gamut. So we have to take the time to detox our liver. And in detoxing the liver, in a 30-day detox plan, not only are you detoxing the liver and you're getting the stones and you're getting all of the congestion, so to speak, out of the liver that's toxic, you're now allowing your body to kind of get back to ground zero. And then once you, the first 2 to 3 days on this program, you work on de-prepping the liver and detoxing the liver, getting all the bad stuff out. And then once you start to reintroduce yourself to food, you're eating foods that don't contain gluten. That means foods that don't contain wheat, barley, rye, and oats. You're eating more fruits and vegetables. You're eating more lean meat if you're going to have meat. And now your body can say, okay, here are some nutrients that I'm getting, and I'm starting to feel good because I'm eating healthier. So therefore, the nutrients that I am getting from the food is giving me more benefit. I'm losing weight, because my liver is no longer toxic. The things that have come through are coming through in such a way where I can use them more efficiently. So the constipation and the diarrhea or my bathroom habits have changed, because most of the food that I'm taking in is being used, and then there's very little waste. That means your body's running efficiently. So your body's absorbing efficiently. And that's why when people come to us, they have the results that they have, because we start with the basics. It's not just about pushing a product. It's not just about, here, go try this, go take that. It's never been about that for us. It's always been about, let's get the body to ground zero. When you get the body to ground zero, you may not even need the product that you thought you needed. Acid reflux goes away through a detox. Because why? The digestive disorder that you had goes away. You're not doing the things that affected your digestion in the first place. Joints can start to feel better. Why? Because you're not giving it the toxic food that you were giving it for the joints to feel the way that they feel. You're not drinking the sodas that cause the bones to be brittle and have bone pain. And throughout this 30-day detox, it really, the biggest thing it does is it retrains your palate in a sense that the foods that you used to crave, you don't crave as much anymore because the body no longer recognizes them the same, especially the bad foods. And then throughout that process, we start to introduce the nutrition. But when we do nutrition, you introduce the nutrition based on the need of what it is you're dealing with. So instead of going to buy one a day and you hoping to take care of cancer and you hoping to take care of type 2 diabetes and heart disease and high blood pressure, and you can just go get a one a day for that. No, you need targeted nutrition for those particular things, and you take the nutrition based on body weight. So where a 300-pound person, instead of them needing 3 or 4 packs of something at 300 pounds, we do a liver detox. And throughout that liver detox process, they lose 30 pounds. They lose 20 pounds. They lose 10 pounds. And then they start to figure out how to retrain their bodies to eat differently. Because the food that you eat on your 30-day detox is the food that you should eat all the time. It's lifestyle. And once you do that, you realize, hey, man, I can do this. And the weight will continue to come off, and the weight will continue to come off. And then all of a sudden you say, okay, we know that the liver is going to be toxic because I'm still breathing in the environment. I'm still, you know, working in this particular factory. I'm still doing these certain things that causes the liver to be toxic. So we got to combat that, and we combat that by the nutrition. And with that, the nutrition will then start to feed the body. Why? Because we're taking the nutrition based on body weight. And when we do that, now that salad that we ate, we're not relying that at the end of that salad, when we get to the bottom of that bowl, we don't know how many nutrients we got. We just know we ate a salad, and it was good. Or it was bad because you hate eating rabbit food, as people call it. But when you take that nutrition and you take it based on body weight, you know that you've gotten the right amount of nutrients for your body weight. And so now your body's fed, your body's nourished. And now food becomes value-added. And when food is value-added, you have the choice to eat healthy because you don't need those things and you don't have those cravings that you had before. And so there's a system to getting the body back in line. And it starts with the detox. It starts with taking the time to connect with someone like you have within this group that's going to show you and explain to you how you take the body from zero to healthy, as opposed to a lot of times you just get different products. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good products on the market, but if you don't take them the right way, or if you're not able to absorb them, you just pretty much wasted your money. And that's not what this is all about. This is about saving lives. This is serious. And we take it serious. We have fun doing it, but we take it serious. And so one of the things that I wanted to do tonight, because we're talking about Thanksgiving and we're talking about the upcoming holidays, and some of you that are on the call or that are listening in may be on a health regimen already that's working great for you, and you're like, okay, Thanksgiving is just going to be Thanksgiving. I'm going to either eat everything that I want and deal with the consequences later, or I'm going to not do those things because my health is more important. And I'm not, making anybody feel guilty by any means, but I'm just saying that people have different motives when it comes to these type of holidays. But you're going to have a lot of people who are just going to do what they want to do. And so coming off of that, they're going to be looking for a place to go to get some of this weight off, to get healthy again, to cleanse the body. And so we have a group right now. We're in the middle of a detox. day 12, I believe, of the detox, of a 30-day detox, which means that we'll be detoxing through Thanksgiving. But guess what? As I said before, those foods on that on the list that they give you to choose from are the foods that you want to eat all the time. Thanksgiving just happens to be one of those excuse months where we might try something different or kind of stray away from our normal diet. But that shouldn't be our everyday diet, and for some of us it is. And so you'll run into people that really want to make a change in their life. But say, man, I've tried everything. But nobody's ever taken them to zero and brought them back. And that's what we're here for. And so we have a group of people who are starting a detox in January. And as part of our same group, we won't be doing it. We'll be done by the end of this month. But we will all be within the framework. We'll all be within the support system to help out. We have a detox page that one of our partners started, and we put everybody on that detox Facebook page. And they can go through and they can see the people that are detoxing. You can see the testimonies. You can see what people have lost in day 4, what people have lost in day 12, or some people don't even lose weight if there's no weight to lose. And that's the great thing about the body. It will do what it needs to do. If a person is already at their BMI and, you know, they're 100 pounds and they're 5 foot and for their weight and height they need to be 100 pounds, then that's where they'll stay. But they'll find, oh, I don't get the headaches I used to get. Oh, my bowel movements are better. So there's benefit across the board. But for the most part, you want to run into people that want to lose weight or need to lose weight or just want to get healthy. And going to a gym is good. Paying a membership is okay. But as we know, there is a high percentage of those people that fizzle out. It's funny because most of the people that go that go to gyms, especially friends of mine that I know, they stop going to the gym until about the end of February. So they'll go through December, January starts, and they figure out places to work out around their house or on their own so they can let all the people that are going to the gym get in and get out because they got all of these deals and promotions going on and New Year's resolutions, and by the end of February, first part of March, the gym is back to normal. So you're also going to have people who don't want to work out. You'll also have people who have issues, back issues and knee issues, that is not conducive for them to work out at this point, but they still need to lose the weight or they still need to get help. So what I'm saying to you is just make sure that you're keeping your eyes and ears open as you talk to people, as you listen to people talk, and ask them, have you ever done a liver detox? And a lot of people will tell you no. I hadn't done one up until 2 years ago. And I looked at myself as healthy, especially being an athlete, being a football player, but yet I still sprained my MCL and partially tore my ACL as a football player. We see football players get injuries all the time. Basketball players get injuries all the time. But yet they get paid to stay healthy. They get paid to work out. They get paid to exercise. So that's not where health lives. So within this detox, we created teams or we created groups. And what these groups will do is be a support system. And what I want to do here in a few minutes is I want to bring some people on who are part of our group now doing the detox with us. And I just want them to talk about the detox, what they think about it, how they feel. If you can say if you lost weight, if you did, you know, that's fine. Whatever you want to divulge about the detox. And so that way our listeners can hear it and understand that you too can have your own testimony. And the great part about this is if you decide to do the detox and you do it the right way, you will get a benefit. But if you do it the wrong way, or even if you do it the right way and you feel like you got no benefit, you can box up the detox boxes when you're done with them. And as long as it's within 30 days, and you can send it back to the company for a full refund. Now, there's a lot of places where you can try products and take them back. But you can't open up vitamins and take them back to places and say, yeah, that didn't work for me. You can't open up prescription drugs and say, yeah, I took two of these and the side effects were so bad that I can't even take them. And you go back to the pharmacy and say, I need a return. I need a refund. they won't do it. So to be able to have a platform and a place to go to where you get your nutrition and get your detox, to get your body set on a path of moving forward, and them extend that to you, you really have nothing to lose. And that's what it's all about. So right now, I'm going to, like I said, bring on a couple of people who are in the middle of the detox along with myself. I'll start with myself. I started, of course, we all started the same day, which was November the 11th. And since that time, I'm down 11 and a half pounds. My energy level is up. And the reason why I know my energy level is up, because we have one product called Pollen Burst, and I survive my life off of Pollen Burst because I get very little sleep. Entrepreneurs and people who work crazy hours, who don't really get a lot of sleep, tend to be always tired. But for me, knowing that I have a Pollen Burst makes me feel great, because I just take a Pollen Burst in the morning where people drink coffee and people do other things. I have a Pollen Burst, and that gives me that four-hour burst that I need, because I just got 3 hours of sleep. And then I take my nutrients every day, and I feel rejuvenated. I feel good. But naturally, after I have done the detox, because the last one I did was last December, and throughout that time, in that 30-day process, I lost 17 pounds. And not putting the weight back on, which is the biggest thing, because I do know how to eat. And there are times when I'm somewhere and at a family function or at somewhere and people want to feed you, and I'm going to have it. I'm going to try it. You know, I'm not going to be like so prissy that I'm not going, no, I can't have that, make people feel crazy. But I'm not going to actively go out and pursue those things on my own or buy them at a rate that I know is unhealthy for me. So even for me, the stress and toxins that we breathe, the risk that we face at times doing business, and a lot of the sleepless nights that you have, and, of course, having children and all of their issues that they have, from having nightmares and going through things at school. And, you know, it's a lot of things that wear on us, and stress wears on us. So throughout the year, you get worn down. And though you're on a good regimen and a good supplementation program, I may not get diabetes and I may not have heart disease, but that does not mean we don't get worn down. And that's why we continue to take our supplements, and you find that when you get off of them, you feel worse. But I find that with this detox, 12 days in, my energy level is amazing. I wake up in the morning after 3 or 4 hours of sleep, and I feel fine. I don't feel as tired. I don't feel like I need to just run straight to the cabinet and grab a Pollen Burst. I can make it through the morning till about lunchtime, and then I'm looking for my Pollen Burst. But the point is that you feel better. You feel rejuvenated. You know, the activity from going to the bathroom, I'm a pretty regular person, not to be like TMI, but, you know, so many people are. And I've been fortunate in that matter. But the production of when you go to the bathroom, that's the greatest part. So that is always something that gets better. Your skin clears up. Man, your skin, you get a glow. You have a certain glow to your skin. So it's just amazing when you get the body back to ground zero and things start functioning better, and you're able to move around and just feel healthy. So one of the first people I'm going to bring on is Miss La Helena Taylor, and she is on our team, and she's out in St. Louis. And I'm going to let her take a few minutes to tell you what her results are thus far and how she feels and what she's been up to. Ms. La Helena, are you there?
Hi. Hey, Donald, I'm here. Hello, everybody.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
Awesome.
I'm doing good.
Awesome.
So just talk to us about the detox. You can tell us if it's your first time or your second time, or how you feel and what do you notice most, and maybe give them some tips and pointers on why they should do it.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity of letting me be on the call tonight. Actually, this is my third round, and I can say that this was one of the best decisions that I've ever made in my entire life when it comes to health and fitness. I would say before I started my first round, I was a health-type motivator advocate for health, weight loss, and so I was embarrassed. You know, I had lost weight, and then I gained it. I plateaued. I was up and down. And I was a little fluffy, you know, on the sides and around. But when I decided to do the detox, my friend that got me in the company that had told me about it, she showed me, like, before pictures, and, like, before and after pictures speaks volumes. And so, and I was like, oh, my gosh, you know this person? They lost all this weight. And so I decided to jump on it, and I'm glad I did, which was October of last year. And so my before and after pictures are, like, completely, like, night and day. And I feel better. I was dealing with digestive issues, and I was dealing with belly bloating. I was having nightmares. I was dealing with sinus problems that I would wake up on certain, like, seasons, like mainly fall, sometimes spring. I would have, like, pressure headaches. And I would, when I would go to sleep at night, I would feel like a suffocating, like, type of a, where I had to, like, wake up and, like, gasp for air. So, I mean, on top of other issues, like women, you know, issues that, you know, come every once a month or whatever, I'm seeing things becoming normal again. I am on my third round, and I think that my first and my third round are, like, the best rounds that I've ever done, because, like, my third round has brought me down to a weight that I never thought that I could ever achieve by me being in my 30s. And so I just, you know, being able to, like, be able to buy new clothes. My clothes are fitting bigger, and I have lost 10 pounds, and I'm on day, what, like you said, day 12. We're all doing it together. And I just feel, I feel good. I feel, before then I did a detox. Well, it was a cleanse. It was 21 days. And it wasn't anything like the liver detoxing system. And I believe that, you know, you have certain tools that you can use to build a home, or, you know, or you can say your home, your body, your temple. And having the right tools, you know, getting your body back to where it needs to be or where it should be, I would say that that's where I am with the liver detoxing system. And without it, I would be where I was last year, just feeling horrible, like just probably tired all the time. And I mean, it's an awesome product. Just a deep cleansing of the liver, like Donald was saying. I mean, no wheat, no dairy, and that was the part that made sense to me. You know, you're not allowed to have wheat. And I didn't know that I had a wheat intolerance. And so if I eat anything wheat, like even after or before the detox, and my body would automatically just start aching, joint aches would probably start happening, my head would start hurting, my digestive issues would probably come back, which, you know, is the reason why I did a third round. I decided to do that because my digestive system was kind of out of whack for like a, and it took me like 7 days to kind of build it up, 5 or 7 days. But the liver detox got me back on track. And I mean, I'm just overall, I'm like, I'm excited. I'm excited that everybody's on it. And I'm probably like, probably wearing people out, because I'm like, hey, how you doing? Because I'm just so excited. But yeah, that's my testimony. I'm just happy. I'm happy to share the opportunity to where my one decision that I did last year of making that first decision of taking the detox dominoed effect through my whole family. My dad, 80 years old, did it. He's off medication. My mom, 76, she's off her blood pressure medicine. My sister's doing good. And then my husband, my brother-in-law, sister-in-law. So it just friends, best friends. I had an elementary best friend that did it, and she, you know, had great results. So, I mean, it's just being able to just share that I had took one, this made one decision to get my health back in order. And I have nothing but longevity to thank. So thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. Well, that is awesome, and I appreciate you sharing. And so how often do you do, if this is your third one, how often will you do them, or how often do you do them?
Well, I think now I'm doing it once a year. When I did it twice, it was maybe about 4 or 5 months in between since, like, my last time, because one of my friends did it, and she was like, right after she did her second one, she saw more stones her second time than she did her first time. So that motivated me to do it again. But I'm once a year, you know, is when I, you know, do it, unless I feel my body's, you know, not doing well, my digestive system. I can kind of like, I can tell now, like when my body's off kilter, I know what to, when to do it and how often to do it.
And how do you find that the food that you're eating, do you like, is it, do you tend to go back to the food that you ate before, or are you able to keep up with the food that you, that they have on the list, or how do you feel about that? Because I know a lot of people think, well, I'm on a detox, so I have to eat this way, but what have you found through your three as far as the food consumption, which is the biggest part of the detox that we do after the actual liver detox, which is just a couple of days?
Sure. I love to eat. I'm not going to lie. I'm a foodie. I love food. I love good food. I love good tasting food. I love different cuisines. But what I ended up doing was I start using, like, whatever that is on the food list for the detox, I stick with it. But what I do is, I mean, I'm not going to eat 100% healthy. I'm not going to even lie to myself like that. So what I do is I reward myself, not with food, but I just give myself an opportunity to, if I want, like, steak or whatever, you know, I'll eat it, like, maybe, like, on a Sunday. I'll have it for, like, a meal. I'll do, like, a little, kind of like a cheat meal. But during the week, actually, I still take my shakes even after or before the detox. I have a shake. I have a pollen burst. I mean, you know, you talk about pollen burst, that helps out so much. And then I'll have like one or two meals a day. And then when I eat my meals, I'm having a protein, I'm having a vegetable, I'm having maybe give or two, maybe a grain when it comes to like rice. But the thing is, my family, we eat healthier now. So the kids, my husband, we all kind of, you know, it's not like a hard situation, because I think that's when it becomes hard when your family ain't eating like that. So it takes time, but just to be able to, you know, have what the family's having and then kind of like saying no to what they may be having, give or take or whatever, like a few items, and that's where I am. And I'm like, it's livable, you know. Even afterwards, I've kept my weight off before, you know, I've never gained a whole lot of weight. It's a possible lifestyle even afterwards. You just have to just know what, you know, just listen to your body, you know, and know what your body's saying when it comes to, like, if you start eating wheat, you would probably know immediately. You'll probably, you know, listen to your body giving you a symptom, and you'll be like, oh, okay, what did I eat that I shouldn't have ate or I didn't eat on the detox? And so that's how I kind of measure up what's good for me and what my body likes and what it don't like.
Outstanding. Well, I definitely appreciate it, and I hope that was valuable to people who are listening and wondering, you know, if it's something that they're thinking about trying or doing. I appreciate it, and, you know, like you've been so helpful to the team and everybody and just chiming in. So definitely appreciate it. She's the one that created the detox page on Facebook. What is that Facebook page called if people want to go to it?
It's called Detoxing Your Liver.
Detoxing your liver. So if you search that on Facebook, and the word detoxing is written with like fruits and vegetables, so you can request to connect to that page, and or one of us that invited you to the call will connect you to that page. And if you're just thinking about it and something you think you might want to do, we'll connect you, and you can then start to just watch for a bit. We say people who want to do detox in January, December the 15th would probably be the cutoff for this group, because you got to make sure you get your detox in time. A lot of times this time of year, it goes on back order, or they take so much longer to ship out because they're sending so many, because so many people are in this phase of weight loss and thinking about the new year. So December the 15th would be the cutoff. for this group and for the January group. And we'll likely do another one in March. And so probably every couple months or every quarter, we'll start a new group. And like I said, we do it once a year. But as we come across people and talk with people and you start dealing with people that see your results, because they're going to see your results. They're going to say, man, how did you lose 25 pounds? How did you lose 30 pounds? And you still look healthy. And you lost it pretty quick, within 30 days. I mean, there's people that go to a gym for a month and hope to lose and happy with 5 to 7 pound weight loss. So you're talking to people that have lost 25 pounds and they tell you that the most they did was walk back and forth to their car every day and watch what they ate, walked up and down the steps in the house, but did no significant exercise. Not saying that exercise isn't important, but even when you first start to detox, because your body is trying to rest, you don't want to add any stress to your body. So we wait till about week 2 to 3. And by week 2, you, in my case, have lost 11 pounds. And Lena's case, have lost 10 pounds. And you're already feeling great. And then you just add in some exercise to maintain and to tone up what you've lost. You just go walking. 30-minute walk every day is vital to your health. And that's something you can do now for the rest of your life. And so it doesn't take much, but that jump starts and gets you on a path of health. And once you lose that kind of weight, you're very happy. And I want to, they're not able to be on, but another two people that I'm very, very proud of that on our detox team, and they are the older of our team on this in this particular group that are doing the detox. I just got word not too long ago that one of them is down 25 pounds. That's amazing, especially being in your 50s, 60s, and at a point where you're past your 40s and everything's supposed to compound and you're supposed to be able to not lose this weight. And this weight is so hard to lose at that age. And so for somebody to be down 20 pounds, 25 pounds, for someone to be down 11 pounds, that's amazing. And we're only in day 12. I mean, And for people to say, oh, you know, you're 60-something or you're 50-something, how'd you lose that weight? People, you watch people on The Biggest Loser, that show that used to come on, and you see those people, morbidly obese people, out there working out, sweating, and over a four-month period, they do a reunion for the show, and people have lost 25 pounds. Some people have lost 100 pounds. Some people have really changed their lives. I mean, I used to remember watching that show. And then I heard a couple of those people on that show, two or three people on that show, died because they lost so much weight so fast and they were just eating, trying to eat right. They weren't doing any nutrition. They didn't do it necessarily the right way. And when you lose weight unhealthily really fast and the body doesn't keep up with the nutrition, you just deplete everything out. And so, you know, for what a great show that was and for as many lives as I'm sure it changed, there were some people that didn't make it. Because when you don't do it the right way, there are issues that happen and complications that may have been hidden and you're not dealing with them from a nutritional aspect. You're just dealing with them from a workout aspect and a food aspect. And we understand food is not going to get us there 100%. So not to throw any shade on that show, but I'm just saying from the aspect of the people that we have and our group that are doing it, we're doing it with very little exercise. Now we're in coming up on week 2, week 3, then we can start to reintroduce the exercise. So now I'm going to go to one of our other team members who has an amazing testimony all by itself. I mean, just amazing in her story and her triumph, but has decided to do the detox and is getting some results, and I want to not tell her story, but I'll let her tell her story, and just let us know if this is your first or second detox, or what made you want to do it, why you're doing it, and just give us some of your results. So I'm going to go out to Keisha, and I want Keisha to talk to us about her detox life and how she feels and what's been happening with her. Keisha, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Hello? Okay.
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, great. Hey, everybody. Hi, La Helena. Wanted to share with you, of course, I started with the rest of the team. Our team is great, especially the camaraderie on our team is just, it's making all of this just even better for me. I am down 13 pounds and am down at my high school weight. I think I finished high school at this particular weight. And I'm really, really excited about it. And it means a lot to me personally because I'm doing this with my family, with my mom and dad, who I really, really care about. And I really wasn't going to do the detox right now, but because I wanted to be that support for them, I went ahead and amazing 12 days. Especially with our group, we text all the time, and it's we're not going through it alone. I've done detoxes and fasts and diets alone, and it's just no fun. I have the willpower to go through them and see them out, but this is fun because of the camaraderie. So I advise everybody who wants to do it to jump on in January when there's a team of people doing it, when there's a group of people doing it that can encourage you along and you can just chat with every day. Just to have that support system, that's the most important thing to me right now, or the thing that stands out most to me is the support. So the people that I'm talking to that want to do the detox, I'm going to make sure that they start with the group, with a group of people, because it just doesn't seem like it's been this long since we've been since we've been detoxing, and we're halfway through, and I'm just so excited. Like, all we got to do is what we've already done, you know, again, and we're done. And I really like the diet that we have now, the low calorie breakfast, the low calorie lunch, and then the meal replacement shake in the evening. We were just saying today how good the shake is, and I don't know if we're psyching ourselves out, but everybody in the group is like, yes, it's good. But I really like that, and I believe that I can continue on with that diet pretty much forever. And like La Helena says, you know, reward myself every once in a while with other foods that may not be on the suggested foods list. But, and my energy is great. My energy level is through the roof. I can go all day and not feel tired unless I decided that I wasn't tired enough to sleep the night before and try to go into the next day, which I've done lately and ended up being tired. But it's not like other diets and detox where you're kind of struggling for your energy and you're struggling because you want to eat something. We eat and we have energy and it's all good. And it's a happy place because that team is just, our team is awesome. For everybody on our team that's listening, I love y'all so much. That's all, Donald.
Well, hold on for a minute. So I appreciate it, and I'm glad to see that you're doing well and you're enjoying it and you feel good about it. And so what kind of, like, this group is amazing and this group will stay intact, of course, and then we'll always continue to support each other. But tell me what of the detox so far was the hardest for you, because I'm sure that people always think, well, it can't be all roses. And we have our days in our group where we're like, oh, my God. So tell me what kind of has been the hardest part of the detox, and then really how long did that last?
Okay, so I'm glad that you asked that. The hardest day of the detox was day 6. And it was day 6 because on day 7 and day 8, we don't eat. And that was a high anxiety day for me. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't eat for the next 2 days. And then day 7 and day 8 went by, and I was like, wow, that was not that bad at all. I wasn't hungry, and nothing happened. So it was just the anxiety of going into that portion of the detox. Everything else for me has been great. One day I drank my meal replacement shake way too early. I won't do that again. But other than that, everything's been great for me, Donald.
Very cool. Very cool. And thank you so much for testifying and just letting everybody know how you feel and what it did for you, because, you know, there's so much greatness to be had in this particular type of detox and really just the group and collecting friends and making new friends. And that's the great part about the detox, because the groups, not everybody know each other. So in the beginning, you know, we're all part of the same family now. And that's another great part of it, just to be able to collect friends throughout life and support each other on a common goal. And anytime you got people that are doing the same thing you're doing and you can enjoy it, that makes just life a little bit easier as well, especially all we have to contend with in the world. But even on, and she mentioned day 7 and day 8, which are days that are not supposed to be food days. But even on not so food days, we understand that people may have issues with certain health issues that they have to eat because of medications they must take every day and different things. And so even within the system that's set up, where you can have almonds, and even if you don't have an issue, but you feel like you have to snack. And I'm going to tell you, I was in a convention 5 days, and 2 of those days was day 7 and day 8 on the days you weren't supposed to eat. And I don't think almonds ever tasted so good in my life, and green apples haven't tasted so good in my life. And it was funny because I needed those things and they really helped. But the next day, I was like, if you've ever fasted before and literally fasted to the point where the first day you fasted and you just felt like crap and you were like, oh, my gracious, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I haven't eaten anything, your body, your mind is just telling you everything. And then by the time you get to day 2, you're like, yeah, I'm a little hungry, but, you know, it's not that bad because I really haven't eaten anything. But by day 3, and so that those 2 days we didn't eat, by the next day when we couldn't eat, I'm like, man, I'm good. I could just eat a few almonds every day and drink some water, and I'm straight. Because, I mean, them almonds was like Thanksgiving dinner. I swear, on days you can't eat, you have to, you know, eat like 6 almonds every 3 hours to eat a green apple or something like that. And so I had green apples with me, and I had almonds with me, and I was just like, And then by day 3, your energy level is way up, and you're like, wow. And that's the day you can have breakfast. You can have a light breakfast and a light lunch, and then you take your meal replacement shake in the evening, and it's like, I don't even feel like I need breakfast. I could just eat a couple almonds and drink some water and be straight. So it's just amazing how you realize that it doesn't take much for us to become satisfied. And when you start to eat food again, as you're eating, you hear a click. And it's not that you hear a click. You almost feel a click where it's in your stomach, and you get to a point where you say, I've had enough. I'm satisfied. And if you have a big plate of food, you realize it's not a lot. You don't take much to really fill that stomach up and to get to where you're satisfied. And if we listen to that click, we'll always just be able to eat just enough food to be satisfied, but not enough food to be full or overeat. And when we do that, that takes less burden. That takes the burden off of our bodies to have to digest so much stuff at one time. And so paying attention to that click, as they call it, and now that I said that, you'll start to feel it. You'll start to be more aware of it once you start eating. And be like, that's enough. And that's why we can eat such small portions. And that's why when they say your food, should, if you ball your fist up or the palm of your hand, should be the portion size of our food. And that's extremely true, especially when you're eating good quality food, because it doesn't take much. You're eating some organic vegetables and different things like that, and some lean meat, the protein from that, you get pretty satisfied pretty quick. So even on those days, and when you fast and you come off of that fast, it's like your body's like so in tune that you don't really have to eat. And one of the things that I noticed and I think a couple of the people in the group noticed was that they're like, man, you know, the bathroom days was bathroom days. Like that Saturday, we start on a Friday, and you prep your liver all pretty much all day, starting with an enzyme in the morning. You're prepping your liver, and Friday night you go to bed. Saturday you wake up. Then the liver is getting ready to do what it needs to do, and so now you're in the bathroom, and you're in the bathroom 3, 4, 5 times. I mean, on a Saturday. And for most people, it's about a half a day. You know, we always say dedicate a whole day, but it's a good half a day, maybe even into later into the afternoon, 3 or 4 o'clock. But I was able to do that and then get on the road and go to Maryland the second half of the day and didn't have an issue where I felt like I had to skate off to the bathroom and stop at some rest stop or stop on the side of the highway. So by about noontime, 1 o'clock, I was straight. I started at about 7 o'clock, but for those 4 or 5 hours, I'm just randomly going to the bathroom, and it was wonderful. And so, I say all that to say, not to be gross or anything, but you had that time where you're cleansing your liver and you're seeing these stones and all of this stuff coming out of your body. And then on Sunday, you might have a little bit, you may go a little bit, but it may just be regular production. And then people, you know, we get to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and people are like, man, why haven't I been to the bathroom? It's been 3 days and I haven't been to the bathroom. Well, granted, we eat 2 meal replacement shakes a day at that point in time. We're not really having much food, but the food that you're eating, you're using. You're using as fuel. It's good food, so you're able to absorb it now. So now you have more absorption. So the only thing that's waste is what the body didn't need. Eating food that's in tune to your body, and you're eating it based on the detox system and really how we should eat it, then you find out, like, man, I haven't been to the bathroom. Well, that means what you ate, your body used. And then now that we're going to on the cycle after the 7th and 8th day, we've been on a cycle now on the 9th day, and this is the 12th, so for the last 3 days, we've been able to eat a light lunch, a light breakfast, a light lunch, and then have our meal replacement for dinner. So now your bathroom cycle might pick up a little bit more because we're consuming more food, and we're consuming 2 meals when we went from not consuming a meal at all or just 1 meal and a meal replacement shake. So you really start to realize, like, man, my body doesn't need this. And not only that, your mind is now in tune, the cravings that you had, because a lot of stuff we do is mental. A lot of it is mental. And so once you start to see your results, you start to feel better. You're like, huh, I don't need that much food. Or I know it's coming up on a time of the year when food is like at a premium and I want everything because that's what I'm used to having. But now you can say, you know what? I'm going to eat the good foods that I can have. And though I'm on a detox and there is some bad food, I might only need a spoonful just to get the taste in my mouth. And even at that, that may not even taste the same. And you might make it the same way every year and love it every year. Your whole family would tell you you love it. You're like, yeah, I don't know. I just don't taste the same to me. Or something's missing. Or you feel like you left something out. But that's just because your palate has been retrained. And I tell people, it's great to detox this time of year, because I swear if you can get through Thanksgiving, you can get through the rest of the year just fine. So, you know, that's what the group is for. So when you have questions like that, or when you wonder, okay, well, what are we going to eat? Or how are we going to cook? And we all post different recipes of things that we've eaten. And it gives other people ideas who's not necessarily used to cooking that well. It's their first time detoxing. They just got a list of food in front of them or a list of fruits and vegetables, and they're trying to figure out how to hook it up into a delicious meal because now we can eat something. And we do this for the next 30 days. Well, really not 30 days anymore, but for the rest of this month. And so I'm just excited. I'm excited for everybody on the team. I'm excited for the people that are going to try it and that are going to do it. And it's going to be fun. And when you can change the state of your own health physically and mentally, then you'll start to do it for the people around you, because the people around you will notice you. They will want to know what you're doing. And so just be prepared for that. And you tell them your story, because now you have a story that nobody can take away from you. And the fact that now you're motivated to, one, continue to eat the right way so you keep the weight off, get on your nutrition so you continue to stay healthy, and live a life that you once dreamed about back during your teenage years, or back during the years when you were healthy and in the prime of your life, getting in the clothes you want to get in and putting the shoes that you wanted to wear on and just going out and dancing and going to the movies and doing the fun stuff that you used to do. And we're not having to think about sitting in the house because we can't do this or we can't do that, or we're a little self-conscious of ourselves. And that can happen. You don't have to be old for that to happen. That can happen at any age. So I'm just so proud and so excited for this team. I'm so excited for everybody who decided to join the call tonight. And I'm proud of everybody. And hopefully in January we'll have an even bigger group, even more testimonies. You know, I'm going to always take the time on this show to point out the team and the people who are doing what we're doing and the benefits that we're getting, because that's how you save the world. Because you never know. And my mentor, this was something my mentor says that he was told by his mentor, and it's just something that always sticks with me. And it says that you never know what you might say or do today that'll save millions of people tomorrow. And I'm kind of paraphrasing that, but that's the part that I take away from that. And so you never know who's listening to you. You never know who you're talking to. You never know what's going on around you. And when you have something great to share, it's always great to be able to share it. With all the negativity in the world, to have a glimmer of hope within your own life and then be a light to shine on the rest of the world or the people just around you, and you're able to save their lives, is amazing. Lahalina had her mother and father and brothers and sisters, and Keisha's got her mother and father and herself, and it's no better feeling to be able to do that, and it's no better feeling to know that I at least did everything that I can do to keep these people that I love dearly around just a few more minutes in life. We never know the date or the time, but if we can, when we arrive at that date and time, if we can do it healthily and make death come find us instead of us finding it. I say let death find me jumping out of a plane, or let death find me doing something that I'm in love doing. And that's the way to die, at the height of what you love to do, as opposed to just in sickness and in misery. And that's why we must share what we do. That's why we must make sure that we stick to our protocol. That's why it's important that we stay disciplined, because people are watching us now. And our stories do nothing but get greater. That platform does nothing but get bigger. That stage does nothing but get bigger. And the great part about this is when you do a detox with a group or with your family or friends, the company will reward you. They have a big competition, and we'll definitely know when that's coming up, but they call it the Healthy Body Challenge. And one of the people on Lahalina's team won the Healthy Body Challenge last year, and he was able to get flown out to Texas and got the rural treatment, got the red carpet rolled out for him, got videos made behind him, and got to work out with some of the top trainers in the world, some of the top nutritionists, and just really, you live that life of celebrity. And he'll never be the same because of that. And the people that he comes in contact will never be the same. And one day I'm going to have him on to give his testimony. He has a wonderful testimony, just as we all will, and we all do. And this is what it's all about. So if every Tuesday we can come in and have conversations of life-saving testimonies and love and cohesion and camaraderie and all the things that it takes to really live a life of joy, if nothing else, we have this call every Tuesday for that. So I appreciate everybody that tuned in. If you have any questions about the detox, you can reach back out to the person that called you. If you want a recording of this call, because you might want to share this call with someone who may be thinking about doing a detox and they can hear the testimonies of the different things about this call, just text me. My phone number is 919-599-0916. And you can text me and just put in Health Talk Recording. This is our Health Talk radio show that we have every Tuesday. So just put in Health Talk Recording and I will text you the recording, and you can share that with friends and family or whoever you might see. It may be something that you may play over the holiday, when everybody's sitting around the Thanksgiving table and got a few people talking about, man, I can't eat like this next year. I need to do something. And you just get a few people around and say, hey, listen to this call right quick. You know, just use it as a tool for whatever it might be for you. But I'm happy to be able to have this platform for us to share and get our stories out there. And next weekend is the 28th of November. We will be back. And I'm going to be interested to hopefully have some of the same guests on or some more guests to talk about how we did over Thanksgiving. You know, the expectation that we had prior to doing a detox and how we felt about Thanksgiving and the food that we normally ate and what did we do for Thanksgiving. And just offer that level of transparency for people who are maybe considering doing a detox around December and have to run into Christmas time, or who may consider doing it next year, or even what we've learned from doing it this time of year with Thanksgiving right around the corner. So I want to wish everybody a happy and safe Thanksgiving. I hope everybody gets to spend the time with the ones they love and really enjoy and be, and don't be afraid to be that beacon of light. Don't be afraid to think that, oh, they expected me to, I've eaten this way every year, so now I'm holier than thou because I've lost some weight. You don't have to always do it in a loving fashion. And even if you don't want to really tell your testimony because you know that people are going to may look at you a certain way, when people say, you know, what did you do, man? You look good. You lost some weight. Say, I did a wonderful detox, and I have somebody I need you to talk to about it. And that way you don't feel the pressure of having to explain if you're not comfortable or if you feel like you're going to be looked at a certain way. But don't just let it fall by the wayside. Don't just not mention it because you don't know whose life you're going to save. So say, you know, I need somebody I have somebody I need you to talk to, and, you know, call the person that you're connected to and let them explain it to them, because that third-party verification will even bring you more joy or bring you more validation in what you've done. So do that if you don't feel comfortable. But please don't dim your light because of this holiday. Please shine your light because there are people that are looking for it. So with that being said, I look forward to seeing you all next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I have to say that now because we have so many people calling from different places. And I say 7 p.m. and somebody calls in at their 7 p.m. and missed the entire call. So, again, if you need to text me, if you need to call me, my phone number is 919-599-0916. And I'd be more than glad to help. But, again, everybody have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. And I look forward to talking to you all soon. Good night.